All right, you guys ready to get started?
Yeah.
Let's roll.
All right. Here, Jimmy, I had a listener send this in. They thought this should be our new intro.
I am positive that you are the most unattractive man I have ever met in my entire life. You know, in the short time we've been together, you have demonstrated every loathsome characteristic of the male personality and even discovered a few new ones. You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, you're morally reprehensible, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid, you have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell. You know, you're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
Do you like to be on the top or the bottom?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, but, you know, I can buy a lot of that, but vulgar, I think that's over the line.
You think that's a little over the line?
Yeah, I think that. I take umbrage at the.
I wasn't sure which one she was referring to.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, well, that's
if
true.
You know, if the. If the flipper fits, then you must acquit. No, if the flipper fits, then.
So we're back doing another show here.
Yeah, this only hasn't even been a week.
It's been something like that.
This is a miracle. Today's the 18th of November.
It's a miracle.
18th, it's a miracle, but 18th of November.
It's the reprisal. We figured we'd bring it back to you.
Well, what happened was, you know, I told you that last month. We had a record month and didn't have a show.
Right.
So I noticed that our hits on the website have declined dramatically since our last show.
Well, we're trying to do a record low.
Yeah, right. So we figure if we have two or three or four shows right in a row, then nobody will go to the website. That's good.
Our internet and it's great because I spent all that time putting all those links for everybody to go look at that Jack Rhodes likes to put up on there. And
Jack's not here. But we do have. Besides Counselor Curtis.
Hello, Jimmy.
And the engineer.
Strapped in,
that's right, and doing well. We've got our friend Will from St. Louis, only you're not in St. Louis, are you?
And he's from Kansas.
That's what I meant, Kansas.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
That was Kansas City. Code for Kansas.
Kansas City. No, it's all.
Oh, it's code for Kansas.
St. Louis, Kansas. He's in someplace. No, Kansas City, MO, right? Kansas City, Kansas? Aren't they all, they're all the same.
I don't know. You there, Will?
All I'm hearing is the music up so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. Well, I'm glad to be anywhere.
Good. You missed our typical insult to our guest as we have.
Well, that was extra loud.
That's on it's all right. It'll be all fixed in the mix.
That's on the insult track.
At least it's good music, you know.
Hey, you know, little Hammond organ. I'm always in for it.
Yeah, we've had that theme song for 10 years or better.
Oh yeah. Well, we've been on. I was just listening to actually a show the other day. It was like our November 11th, 2005 show. So that's something. There's like 10 years right between there and now, right?
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough.
You know, I am amazed that you fellas can put this stuff together and still have something fun to talk about. You know, there's so much going on, and you just go, what are these people thinking?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean,
What else can you do?
Before we actually get started, I do have to do a couple shout-outs real quick.
Yeah, you got a couple shout-outs.
One thing is we have struck Jimmy Doan gold. We have, apparently what's happened is somebody got, like, really up on crack or drugs or something, went to our website, and his name's Nicholas, and I think that Nicholas is from way up north. He says from Alaska, right? Went to the website, bought lots and lots of books on Amazon through our website, which we actually are going to get some serious coin.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and
thank you, Nicholas.
Well, what I'm thinking is
it's Nicholas. Is it?
I'm saying Nicholas up north near Christmas. Coincidence? I don't think so. Okay. No. I'm
end of the year sale. He's talking up.
I believe there's something going on here, and I don't think. So, Nicholas, yeah, I want to thank him for that and let anybody else. So, the main thing he was upset about, apparently he would have, like, spent more for presents for the kids around the world, except that we don't have our Amazon, the complete store set up there yet where you can get all the stuff.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to send me the
I'm going to have to do something?
Well, yeah, other than,
wait a minute,
put on pajamas occasionally, yeah.
And very occasionally.
Very occasionally.
That's right. I'm in my pajamas. How do you like these pajamas? These are good. These
just
my,
make
my
sure
Bart
you stay
Simpson.
Under that desk, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
Also, you need to give a shout-out to Wogsy.
Wogsy, of course, yes. He called our attention to the fact that apparently, I haven't listened to last week's show yet, but apparently I misattributed the road to serfdom to Ludwig von Mises instead of Friedrich von Hayek.
Mm-hmm.
But Wogsy, of course, I was a little confused.
Right.
Because he said the road to serfdom, S-U-R-F-D-O-M, and I thought he had that confused with the...
Now that's a book I wrote when I was out in Hawaii.
I was going to say, right.
Right.
Road, R-O-D-E, you know, to...
Like a kingdom, but serfdom.
Right, right. And, and of course, we know that, you know... Hang Ten Harry wrote that book, but I, but it wasn't, you know, I don't think it was Friedrich, but anyway, so the S-E-R-F, as in serfdom, yes, you're right. Thank you, Wogsy, for that tidbit.
It was listed on our website as the correct author, though.
Well, then...
So it was a test.
It was a test!
That's what I meant to say, was if you were really listening, if you were, so we have one listener.
Uh-huh.
Just like that, right?
Two,
I mean, yeah. That was, and I don't even listen to the show, so yes. That shows you how. So that's just great. Okay. Next.
So, all right, Jimmy, what's happening in the world today?
Well, there's so much. First of all, I this may be the last podcast because we're doomed.
Doomed.
Global warming has taken center stage again to try and scare the bejesus.
Come on now. I haven't heard anything about global warming.
Fast rising carbon emissions that mean the worst case predictions for climate change are coming soon, making large parts of the planet uninhabitable and threatening the basis of human civilization. This is a new study that's just come out. What I love, I'm reading this article, is written by Steve Connor and Michael McCarthy, which, interesting, Michael McCarthy, even though the news article is by Michael McCarthy, he's also one of the authors of this scare thing here, which I thought was kind of interesting. But they're all panicking about the CO2. Apparently, the oceans are not absorbing it anymore. They've, you know, taken it all up. Their chilling and remarkable prediction apparently is going to, you know, is thrown a bolt of lightning fear into the thing at the Copenhagen conference next month, where they're supposed to come up with all this stuff.
And that's where the doom may come from.
Right. There's no question. Where the world community will try to come together to construct a new agreement on to bring warming under control. Okay, now this is great. They're going to have a couple thousand people. That's the world community, right? Uh-huh. Out of 6-8 billion, whatever it is.
They're going to be speaking for the masses.
Right. And they are going to cure, mind you, global warming. Now,
what we're going to do? We're just going to put a sort of a heat blanket over the sun, and then we're going to be able to control it at that point.
You know, believe it or not, they've got the most harebrained schemes in the world, but the main thing...
A bunch of aluminum foil up there.
I thought it was like a really big fan.
A fan, there you go, see?
Cool things off?
I wasn't thinking, yeah, but yeah, a really big fan.
I don't know, that kind of just blow the heat around.
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm not sure. You could bring
blow
that...
the heat around in space.
Yeah, in outer space. But I love this thing. The world community, of course, will try to come together.
Makes sense to me.
29% increase in global emissions. CO2 emissions of burning fossil fuels increased by 41% between 1990 and 2008. And they're just, you know, they have the reference level Kyoto Protocol.
Look, Jimmy, are you actually addressing the global warming thing? I mean...
Well, this agreement, if it's too weak or the commitment's not respected, it's not 2.5 degrees centigrade or 3, we will see 5 or 6. That's the path we're on. The timescales are extremely tight, which is needed to stabilize the climate. And, of course, if you read this thing, what you find is that India and China, who China's now surpassed us as, you know, coal burner and everything like that, which is the primary thing, and they're not going to sign on. You know, end of story. I mean, you know, so the Chinese are going to kill us one way or the other. Either they send the hordes, the yellow Mongol hordes over the hill, or they, you know, burn up coal, I guess. I don't know.
Suck up all our oxygen.
Fine by me. You know, maybe we'll evolve it. But anyway, let me just finish this up here a little bit, because it's quite a long article. Amount of CO2 that has remained in the atmosphere as a result has increased from about 40% in 1990 to 45% in 2008. Whoa. This suggests that the heat sinks, the carbon dioxide sinks are beginning to fail. And they did a little experiment about this on the radio. They, you know, you put a bunch of ice cubes in water, And as you heat the water up, of course, the temperature hardly changes at all until the ice cubes finally melt. So the ice cubes are like a sink, as they call it, not to be confused with where you do your dishes.
That's a temperature thing.
Yeah, I know, but they're talking about the same thing on the carbon dioxide.
Sure.
If you project into the next century, show quite large feedbacks, then we're doomed in that.
See, that's where they keep going wrong, Jimmy.
But as I says, there are still large uncertainties.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, okay. And the study also found out that the burning of coal since the 1960s, the burning of coal has overtaken the burning of oil as a major source of carbon dioxide. Now, this Michael McCarthy, who wrote the news article as well as the scare report, has said he combined all the available scientific research to construct a picture of a world with temperatures three times higher than the danger limit.
Me too.
All the available
data.
Ran through a...
Well, you know, Jimmy, I was just looking at all the available data right before the show.
Yeah.
And I can summarize my conclusion here in 30 seconds or less, too. Okay. Here's... Nobody looks past a few hundred years. The last million years is the coolest on record for the last 250 million years. And in the last million years, had a fluctuation of 10 degrees consistently every 100,000 years, a warming for 20,000, a cooling for 80,000. And since nobody looks at these macro cycles, they're missing the real thing. They're making little interpretations on the little tiny pieces of the scale. Have I used up all my words sometime?
No, that's all right. I was just going to say, Stitch sent a really great PowerPoint over to me, and I will link to that.
Ooh.
And I will put that on the website on it. So that way, when all you listeners go to our homepage looking for those porn links that I didn't put up there.
it's an Easter egg. You know, you have to
search around.
And the first person
to find them gets
a lotto ticket.
All right.
From last week.
You know,
last week.
I wanted to interject something here while we're talking about this micro view of the weather cycle. You know, they're micromanaging global warming just like they're micromanaging our economy.
Exactly.
And it's systemic. And it's like overanalysis begats overanalysis, and you know, it's scare tactics to try and get you to conform.
Right.
Man, I tell you what, you know, it's like every day during the spring, the temperature got hotter and hotter. If this continues,
at this rate,
man, by the end of the year.
We projected it out for, let me tell you, in March, we projected it out for the next 6 months.
Right.
And you're not going to believe this, but it's going to be hotter in 6 months than this day. We projected it out that far.
Right.
And in 10 years, it's going to be like 4,000 degrees.
Oh, exactly.
Unbelievable.
You know,
unbelievable.
I mean, that's what we're seeing here. And you know, to me, it's just some kind of a sham to get this Copenhagen Protocol through.
Right. Well, it's control. I mean, the point is that, my thing is, so what? I love this. His verdict was that a rise in temperatures of this magnitude, quote, would catapult the planet to an extreme greenhouse state not seen for nearly 100 million years when dinosaurs grazed on polar rainforests and the deserts reached into the heart of Europe. And I'm thinking, okay, and what's your point? So what?
Yeah, and what is the solution? Everyone's telling us what we need to stop, but there's no real solution. Either way, if what they say is going to come true, we're screwed.
Well,
so
are
I make
we?
Everyone crazy about it.
You know, some people are going to be screwed and some people aren't. If they get out of the way, the market would figure it out. Now, there might be, as they talk about in here, you know, there might be 3 or 4 billion deaths, you know, as everybody makes a rush for the North Pole. You would drown if you went up there. Sorry, South Pole.
Ending global warming, it'd be solved in 2 seconds.
Say what again?
If you found a way to make a profit from stopping global warming, it'd be solved in 2 seconds, but somebody hasn't figured out a way to capitalize.
Well, sure.
Understand, but that's the beauty. They have.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is that they have figured out a way to make a ton of money by not solving it.
Right.
I agree.
So I mean, that's the incentive is to keep it going.
Well, here's something in Amsterdam: the cow dung to power more Dutch homes.
Yeah,
a plant that converts cow dung into energy for homes opened in the Netherlands Friday. Manure from cows at a nearby dairy farm will be fermented along with grass and the food industry residues, and the biogas.
There you go.
Will be released during the process. Will be used as fuel for the thermal plant's gas turbine engines.
It better be a freaking flower.
don't cow farts cause global warming?
That's what I was saying.
Well, apparently this is like, instead of carbon credits, these are cow fart credits.
Right.
Apparently what you do is you
have all the cows fart into this machine and turns it into...
Exactly.
And they burn it up and make power out of it.
Now, one thing you want to make sure is...
measured in CPUs, cow pie units.
Yeah. that's one way, but you do have to make sure when you run out there with the milking machine that you put the milking machine in the right place and not the fart machine, because you don't want to get them mixed up.
I don't know.
No, I mean, but I'm looking at this thinking that what?
You open up that can of milk, that bottle of milk.
That's right.
That's a can. Lofty.
No, but that is the original definition of a can of whoop-ass. That's the original definition, boy. I'll tell you, they got it. They got it going. No, they use everything to do their the Dutch. I love this cow dung to power more Dutch homes. Well,
man, that sounds like a smelly idea. Like I said, it better be
idea
flower.
Stinks.
Yeah, and they're next to a dairy farm too, man. I hope they don't make cheese there.
Yeah, well, they do make the cheese. It's called Limburger. Have you ever smelled that?
Oh, yeah.
That's called fart cheese, if there ever was one. And people
well, you
eat.
Know what it's made with human body odor bacteria.
That's right. Well, that's right. That's Limburger is French for armpit. So, you didn't know that.
I figured it was just they just had dug up Charles Lindbergh and made cheese out of him.
No. It's Limburger.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, as in limb. As in,
oh, right. as in
your
limb.
Arm.
Right.
You know?
Made out of his limbs, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. Good. Yeah, that's good. Not much of that cheese to go around.
All right, so what else is happening?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the other thing is that we have a new item from Roanoke, Virginia on the eminent domain front where they've decided to... the Kelo thing. You know, okay. you did hear.
We have to go back and talk about
right,
this.
Right, which reminds me, a slight digression.
Okay.
If you get a chance, about 2 or 3 years ago, we did the Supreme Court on the Jimmy Doan archives, archives of archives. If you want to have some fun, go back and listen to our very special Supreme Court issue, which Counselor Curtis and I and some other people put together to talk about.
Yeah, it's labeled the Supreme Court Show.
And it was where we talked about the deadly Supreme Court decision, and one of them was Kelo, which was the eminent domain thing where
not like cocaine. Kelo is K-E-L-O, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. K-E-L-O. That's right. So you don't say exactly right. It's the same difference between surf and surf, right?
Right.
Okay. So Kelo. And Pfizer apparently had wanted to put in some kind of big deal up there in Connecticut, so they figured they're going to condemn Connecticut was going to condemn the property for the public good is a tax rate revenue thing, and they won. And in fact, the Supreme Court said, yep, you can certainly take that eminent domain, even though in the Constitution said not for public purposes, what they called it. And they decided that a private company could do it for a public service. And so Pfizer, by the way, has decided as of about a week ago to walk away from this and say, nah, we don't want the plant there after all. Bye-bye. So they got all this condemned property. I guess I don't know what they're going to do with it. But anyway, this is in Roanoke, Virginia. And apparently the housing authority in Roanoke, Virginia, same kind of thing. They wanted to bring in a private company here, and I don't remember which one it is off the top of my head. I'm looking here. I should have pulled it out. Anyway, but what happened was, it was a private deal to put in some housing in this one area. So in order to get it condemned, they have decided, apparently the Supreme Court has said, if the property is 74.2% blighted, then you can go ahead and condemn it. Well, it turns out that these couple places on a couple of acres out of the 100 or 200 acres, whatever it is that they wanted to condemn, they didn't sell. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to go. They said, screw it. You know, we have a thriving business here, which they do as an automotive and a flooring business or something like that.
Sod farm.
Hairstyle. I don't know. Whatever it is. And but they
brothel.
No, apparently it wasn't a brothel. I don't think it was. Right. At least not according to this.
Sorry.
At any rate.
It's a different kind of blight.
That is no blight as far as I'm concerned. But we can talk about there's something. There was a bunch of news about that, too. But... They took them to court, of course, to say, you've got to give up your land, even though your particular property that you're on was not part of the blighted area, but we need the property.
Oh.
Yeah. And, boy, it's been going on for like 10 years, and the Burkholders or whoever these people are, I forget it is, they lost. And sure enough, the Housing Authority, of course, defended its decision to condemn the properties, obviously.
So the government's coming to take you away, haha.
Yeah, exactly. It's in Roanoke near Virginia, but apparently, according to the redevelopment plan, 74.4% of the South Jefferson redevelopment area was either blighted or improperly developed. And it was interesting because...
improperly.
Yeah, right.
Improperly, according to who? According to them? Because right.
They know it when they see it, Will.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you. It's kind of like porn.
I've seen proper development.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's not properly developed.
It's not proper. Mm.
That's right. So anyway, they it does look as though the Carillon people, or whoever it was, is going to put this this facility in. It's a clinic. It's a medical clinic. And it's supposed to be, you know, $15 or $20 million worth. And obviously, there's going to be some tax involved, but somebody seems to think there might possibly have been a little collusion here.
No.
I know it's hard to believe, but I tell you, it's stunning to me that they actually got away with this, because when you look at the articles, at any rate, it appears that the housing authority like had almost no leg to stand on, and yet they beat the crap out of these two, and they, because they said that the property that they, the actual part of the property they were on, was not blighted. And not that I think that would be a reason to condemn it anyway. I mean, that to me is, you know, they've really gotten that into public good. So anyway, that's the eminent domain thing. We don't want to do that. Okay. The next thing, of course, is, which is really surprising, the UN questions if Iran has other nuclear sites, and Iran has said no.
No, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. So that ends that. Yeah.
Well, that's good enough.
Yeah, good enough for me.
I mean, answer out of them.
Yeah, I'm a jamadad, whatever it is. Yeah, that's.
I'm a dinner jacket.
Right. That's right. I'm a dinner jacket.
I'm a nut job.
So yeah, I'm a nut job, right? But anyway, but I mean, certainly there's no reason to doubt what he has to say. So I was pleased to see that the UN was taking it.
That's taken care of now.
Yeah, that's taken care of. Of course, another item here: the federal FDA. The Federal Doolittle Administration, or whatever they are. Funky Doolittle Association. I don't know. Food and Drug Association.
Food and Dumbass Association.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to ban, you know, those drinks that have got like 9 or 9.5% alcohol and caffeine in them? The kids like, you know, college kids, because you get a little buzz.
Right.
And then they're going to ban them. Just, no, that's too, we think it might be dangerous. You know, caffeine, you know, we're thinking that maybe if you have the
sugar and caffeine.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, right. Booze and sugar for a college kid. They want to get a buzz. And the safety thing is they could be like a little tipsy, but be wide awake. And this is a problem. So they're just going to ban. Just boom. Just ban them.
I think I'd have drinks.
I was in my son's high school. And, of course, they've now taken out all the soda machines. And my first thought was, how the hell did they get in here in the first place?
They got kickbacks.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But where did the money go?
Because
obviously, that still wasn't enough to do what they said was going to come out of this. And, you know, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. I see kids now in high school. When I was in that age, man, we wouldn't be caught dead drinking coffee, and now these key kids are drinking cappuccino, frappuccino, Al Pacinos, whatever the hell they are. And they're all hooked on them. And they're wired when they're going to school. They're going a million miles an hour as it is, and then to cut them off cold turkey, well, they're doing that so that they can get their funding for their new psychologist to come in and help these kids down.
And they can become a military psychologist in no time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
I'm just stunned when I see kids half my age or a third my age
giving it up
that are drinking these Jeroboam size, depth charge size cups of coffee, and I'm thinking, my God, when I was that age, I couldn't even stand the smell of it, let alone the taste of it.
Yeah, I was senior in college before I actually had any coffee.
What's that? You drink that NOS, right, Will?
Oh, yeah, that stuff is rocket fuel, baby. That's great. Comes in a metal can because it'd eat through a plastic can. I had that big can of it yesterday, and all I could think of was, I'm vibrating, you know? It was great. I think that would explain why I was awake till 4 o'clock in the morning this morning.
Oh, my gosh. And you're out teaching Photoshop, right?
Yeah, that I am. I'm pushing pixels around. You know, I was showing people like the Botox tool, the Rogaine tool, the SlimFast filter, the Mary Kay layer to get rid of you know, the wrinkled and green, and then we show them the divorce tool to take their crazy ex-husband and ex-wife out of their wedding pictures and all that.
Right. Oh, that's good. You rename it so they can understand what's going on.
Well, for its particular use.
Right. Now, they call this the, you know,
this is
eraser,
not a fill,
but
it's
the divorce tool.
The divorce tool.
That's it.
Oh, it looks like that brick I threw at him. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I got into it with my wife over this because she wanted me to go in and doctor up her pictures, and I got a real problem with that. She wants me to take out absolutely every flaw, and she was so angry with me because I wouldn't go in there and massacre her picture and make her look like one of those plastic tarts that's on the newsstand.
It's not very flattering.
Wait, I'll tell you, how long have you been married?
7 years.
Okay, you should have been in the thing where, honey, you have no flaws. It seems to me.
Yeah.
She doesn't. I got to tell you, Jimmy, my wife is the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life, and I don't like the idea of doctoring up her picture because I think she looks great the way she is.
Right.
I'm not being a smart aleck. I mean, dead serious. You know, I fell in love with this woman when I was 15 years old, and I've always thought she's the most beautiful woman I've ever met, and I refuse to butcher up her picture because there's nothing wrong with the way she looks
right now.
That's a great answer.
I'll
tell you what I'd do. I just copy and paste an old Demi Moore head and put it on her body and email it to her. Say, how about this, babe? Is that better?
put a job of the HUD on there.
Deal in the mail about or in online about all of the money that Demi Moore spent on plastic surgery.
Yeah, I saw something like
$330,000 or something is what they estimated.
Yeah.
Well, you could have gotten from Dr. Nick a lot cheaper than that. You know, they get this Hollywood
That's what Michael
people.
Jackson got, apparently, with the Dr. Nick job.
Yeah, he still paid probably more than she did.
Yeah.
I have one other FDA thing since we were going ahead on the food and whatever.
Doofus administration.
Yeah. did you hear that these people are coming down on Ronald McDonald? They want to put him in the clink.
I did see something. Well, now, this is because he might be enticing. He goes into schools and
That's
entertains
right.
them.
He's been out doing it for, you know, 60 years or 50 years.
He's killing chickens and cows or what?
No. Far worse than that. What he's
Far
doing.
Far worse than that.
Yeah.
We can allow that.
Soda and trans fats?
No, here's the deal. No, the problem is that he's a beloved corporate mascot or possibly a sinister huckster who gets kids hooked on junk food.
Oh, hooked on junk food.
Oh, my God. He's a burger file.
He's a drug dealer.
He's a drug dealer, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. The Corporate Accountability International Group, a watchdog organization based in Boston, claims that through television commercials and by appearing at schools, libraries, hospitals, and even McDonald's restaurants, Ronald is marketing directly to impressionable children. The result, they say, contributes to diet-related diseases like obesity and type 2 diabetes.
He's a murderer!
He's a murderer! Take him out!
I can see it now. They're going to tie it into drug use. It's going to be from max to smack. You just know that's coming.
And do you deny that you've served billions and billions?
Hamburgers are the gateway drug.
That's right.
Look at this. He's even got something called the Hamburglar. Look at that. He doesn't look very helpful, does he?
No. No. And you put it together with fries and a Coke and called it a Happy Meal?
Yeah.
Oh, the nerve.
That purple guy ain't exactly slim.
Yeah.
The grimace guy.
Yeah, but I mean, you see, it's not even a subliminal suggestion about the Coke. it's obviously a gateway food.
It's called Coke and comes with a straw.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake. How could we have missed this?
That's it.
No wonder you want to take him out. You know, don't walk past any bell towers
They're going to bring him down, Jimmy.
Down like a clown, Charlie. Boop. Down like a clown, Charlie B. Down like a clown, Charlie B. Down like a clown, Charlie Brown.
That's right, they're taking him down.
Taking him down, Charlie Brown. Okay, that's good. No, but I mean, I think that's so funny. And I guess they're going to have to go after Mickey next. I mean, what's Mickey promote, I wonder? A wasteful lifestyle, a gay life. It's funnie. He's been palling around with Minnie for these many years.
Uh-huh.
He's got, doesn't he have like a, isn't there a son or something to, or a nephew, no, nephews are, Huey, Dewey,
and
Louie.
He's the Rock Hudson of cartoon characters,
you're changing
man.
Species. That's a duck.
Yeah, I know that. But, I mean, weren't there some... There weren't any small mice with Mickey?
Nah.
No, okay, just Minnie. He just kind of lived with Minnie in
Minnie's
sin.
Minnie's post-op, yeah.
Okay. Post-op
tranny. They'll find something, Jimmy.
Post-op tranny. Okay, yes, Minnie.
You know, Jimmy, I think I like where your head is, though. I mean, you know, Mickey Mouse is masquerading as this wondrous figure who's brought joy to millions and tens of millions and maybe billions of people, but secretly.
Is he masculine when you talk this high?
Okay, he's never been, they never got married, he's got a high voice, he's the Rock Hudson of cartoon characters.
Yeah,
cover-up.
That's true.
But I mean, they all do this, you know, you think about like Count Chocula. I mean, what, you know, here's a guy who's going to suck your blood and it's on a cereal box that is like, you know, sugar bang bobbies or whatever the hell it is. It's chocolate sugar is what it is. You want a high on a, you know, a 5-year-old or 6-year-old. I mean, can you imagine? I would not like to be a kindergarten teacher in our first grade these days when mom and dad send them up with a big bowl of cereal.
I say you line them all up. Chocula, the rabbit. All of them. Kill them all.
That's right. The rabbit. Yeah, I forgot about the rabbit.
Tricks are for kids. Man, I'm telling you.
No, Tricks. Now, isn't
Captain
that?
Captain Crunch
now you know
better.
That's right. But you know that Tricks, that's a subliminal suggestion for prostitution.
Tricks are for kids.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't get anymore.
And it's a bunny.
It's a bunny. That's right. I mean, Playboy bunny.
Yeah, nah.
I mean, look, you're going to get laid by eating Tricks.
I wouldn't let my kid go down the cereal aisle.
It's porno. It's yeah. It should be. There should be a warning label on the aisle.
Right.
It's PG-13 minimum, maybe X-rated in some.
Right. Minutes. Right. 17 and up.
17 and up. NC-17 for the cereal aisle. Hell yeah.
Since we're already on the cartoon and pornography thing, you saw that Marge Simpson pose for Playboy.
Yes,
I saw that. That was excellent.
And I tell you right now, do you have a copy of it? No, I just saw this. I just saw the pictures
on
the web.
Oh man, come on.
Anyway, the thing is, I loved it. That she was Photoshopped too, because on her little model data sheet that she's got to fill out, she says bust 26, waist 26, hip 26. But I'll tell you, you look at some of these pictures. Her bust is not 26,
and her waist. She got a. She sucked in her waist too. She got a nice waist there. I'd do her.
I'm telling you, man.
I like your suggestion, Eric. They should have held out for Jessica Rabbit.
Man. Yeah, I think they should. Larry Flint should have got Jessica Rabbit. Some kind of serious debauchery. I did like. What Marge values most in life, though, she said, our great country and the freedoms enshrined in its constitution, allowing you to
do anything you want.
Print this smut.
That's good.
Anyway, so yeah, look at that. I mean, it's just, what are you gonna do, man?
Anybody can be famous. It only took her. You think about it now. What have they been on? 20 years.
Yep.
So she's 30.
That's the longest running American sitcom. It's the longest animated series, and I had the whole thing in here.
There's some fans for it too, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people that. Yep. Okay, we can move along now. Anything else in particular, you guys? I mean, I got a whole stack of things here, so
let's go for it.
Okay. One is, I noticed this brings up something else. Hunger in the U.S. is at a 14-year high, it says here. This is according to the study.
I'm hungry right now.
Yeah, me too. The number of Americans who lived in households that lacked consistent access to adequate food soared last year to 49 million, the highest since government began tracking what it
one in six people.
Food insecurity. Well, I mean, what's amazing about this, of course, is we've had a war on poverty for 30 or 40 years. We got food stamps. We got everything. I think what happens is
you got Checker Burgers.
Well, yeah, 99 cents. I mean, who can't do that?
We got McDonald's inside of Walmart.
Yeah. And I believe if you try and go to the bathroom in that McDonald's, there's a Starbucks.
Yeah, inside the bathroom.
That's right, inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's so, anyway, but I love this. They said rising food prices might have played a role. Oh, really? Gosh, I don't know. But anyway, the ungainly phrase insecurity stems from years of political and academic wrangling over how to measure adequate access for food. I mean, you talk about the angels on a head of a pin. These guys are just out of control on this. I mean, when you read this article, it says nothing. Food stamp rolls have expanded to record levels, with 36 million Americans now collecting aid, 40% increase over 2 years ago. You know, for obvious reasons. Finding food is tough for a mom with single children. No, single children with a mom. No, single mom with children. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
A MILF with.
That's right. The MILF with. Right.
But
many people are outright hungry, skipping meals, he said. Others have enough to eat, but only because they're going to food pantries or using food stamps.
Did they count all the people who are on diets?
Well, that's the other thing. When you realize that the, you know,
probably half of us are
the number one or two health problem in the United States is obesity. Okay, so I'm thinking, well, there's no problem here.
I was just thinking the same thing. Problem solved.
Problem solved. There's 40% of the population that can afford to go without a meal occasionally. I mean, when they've already...
If you've been through a Walmart lately, you've seen a lot of people that could go without a few meals. That is an interesting slice of Americana. That is the scariest thing I've ever been through, is a Walmart late at night on a Sunday night.
Well, that's where I hang out, man. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, hey.
Like he said, scary.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. Stitch sent me a bunch of, like, there's websites out there that are like the best of Walmart.
And, oh, yeah. I've got two complete sets of pictures of the people at Walmart.
Right.
I was just looking at that. This friend of mine sent me that the other day.
Oh, my God.
You just go, obviously you don't have a mirror. And can you, you know, you look at that and do they stand in the mirror and they go, oh, yeah.
I can tell
disco
you
stew.
That there are, when you look at it, huh? Yeah,
disco stew.
No, I'm telling you, there are people that look at that and think, I am just, you know, I am so attractive. And way you can tell.
Well, thank
is when
God, because otherwise.
No, they'd be committing suicide.
Right.
No, the thing is that you look at some of the people in there, like you say, and there's, you know, blubber. They've got a midriff shirt on with blubber hanging all over the place. But they got lipstick. They got a beautiful mullet that's to die for, you know. and then, you know, they've taken the time to do a lot of really crazy stuff, you know, above the neck. Or right. Maybe even cleavage everywhere, you know. Right. And then you move on
fingernails.
Down.
Fingernails.
Fingernail. Oh, that. I have seen some fingernails that must have cost $200 to put them on, you know.
Yeah.
And then you look at the rest of the, you know, and you're thinking, well, on average, you know, it's sort of okay.
Well, it's like the average human has one breast and one testicle.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's right. That's right. So,
you know, maybe if she jabbed me in the eye with her fingernail, yeah. That was the last thing I saw.
No, I would have to. I would have to have a fairly good multi-day supply of crack before I'd take a look at it.
Jimmy and Curtis would go into a cussing fit that would make Trent's look normal.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of that, I've never gone to bed with an ugly girl, but I certainly woke up with a few.
Hey, we need to take like a super quick break here, little commercial here, and we'll be right back on the Jimmy Doan Show. And we're back.
Hey, I'm speaking of Walmart. Did you see that Walmart's going into the cell phone business?
They are.
They already are. I got my cell phone, actually, from Walmart.
No, I mean the cell phone service.
Business. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You mean Verizon? Their
own provider?
Yeah.
Really? Well,
the store's so big,
and
you need
like
a cell phone.
And it's like half the price.
Really?
So it's time to renegotiate your contract.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, it will be as soon as they come in, because it's...
But what kind of... Are they going to have, like, you know, what kind of coverage?
They got packages, like, it's going on a stadium. It's like $45 for unlimited everything.
But who's they going to be there? Are they?
I don't know.
Walmart
which,
doesn't have their own satellite,
no,
do they?
No, I don't know who they're using. I mean, like, I think maybe, you know, like you said, maybe it's got to be one of the big guys. I mean...
Well, maybe it
they
also...
They just put a big cell tower on top of every Walmart.
Right.
Hey,
I
can
say.
Do it.
I can say. As long as you don't...
in every neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah. They've got the coverage.
No, you figure it out. When you figure it out, if you're within... you know, 5 miles of a Walmart, you have unrestricted access. And, of course, you have a lot of dead areas, I suppose, but not for long.
Right.
Well, with all the people in Walmart that are wearing the tinfoil hats, they'll get great reception in there anyway.
That's true. That's true.
That's built into their reflector transmittal formula.
That's right. That's right.
Jimmy, I got something I wanted you to comment on.
Okay.
I never watched this, but I was... changing around the channels.
Almost
and,
never.
Right. And Glenn Beck was on.
Yeah.
And he was doing a really decent piece, I thought, on the coming money bubble.
Right.
Did you see that? Or you know what I'm talking about?
No, I actually kind of stopped. I watched Glenn a couple of times off and on, but He's got one or two, I forget what they are, but he's got one or two stands that I just can't abide too much. And a lot of it, you know, he's on the money on a lot of the stuff, especially about the money bubble. The guy that you need to talk to, listen to, of course, is Peter Schiff. He's got his, it's called Global Investments or Global Consultants or something like that. I forget. Anyway, if you look up SCHIF, Peter, SCHIFF, he's on C-SPAN, and not C-SPAN, he's on, you know, Fox and CNBC and those others from time to time. But he's the same ilk, so to speak. Now, Glenn's on every night, I guess, but this guy, Peter Schiff, is invited. And the global bubble, yeah. I mean,
well, here is the thing that he said was okay. His financial guy, I guess, came on and said, you know, this last bubble kind of burst a little bit, you know.
The housing bubble.
Right.
Yeah.
Over some time. It's taking a few years to sort of blow up. It's not so bubble-ish.
Right.
Whereas the money bubble, because it's all tied to the interest rates,
right,
should be a flash in the pan type thing.
Well, not flat, but a flash. But yeah, no, and that's right. There could easily be, you come in on Friday and they say, look, everything's just rosy, rosy, rosy. And on Monday, suddenly everybody's lined up at the bank trying to get their money out. There's a run on the bank. And that kind of stuff historically occurs in one day.
Well,
there's no reason to think that couldn't happen here.
Well, the weird thing, the reason I bring this up is because one of the things he said was that Bernanke came out the other day and made an announcement that they were not going to raise interest rates in the near future.
Right, and this may be the key.
Were they raising them up from zero? What's the rate?
It's 0.25, I think. It's somewhere between zero and 0.25, depending on what.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. They can't go negative. You know.
So. We pay you to take the money.
No, that's right. I mean, yeah. Seriously, you can't, yeah.
But so the point is to me, if they're coming out and saying they're not going to do it,
that's
almost like, watch out, man. They're going to go do it tomorrow.
That's
man.
Right. No. And that is exactly true. That is the protestations. And I've seen this before. I remember when the Mexican peso was devalued many, many years ago. This is like in the probably 30 some odd years ago. It was the big one I remember. And they'd come out every Friday and say, look, this is, we're tied to the dollar, you know, eight to the dollar, whatever the hell it was, or four to the dollar, whatever it was back then. And then, of course, as soon as the markets closed on Friday afternoon, they made the announcements, we're going to, you know, 20, everybody lost, you know, 50, especially all the people who are speculating.
So what does that mean for everybody on Monday?
Well, of course, I remember when this Mexican peso thing hit, on Fridays, there would be a big run-up before the every Friday, I think it was, there would be a big covering position while everybody would try and cover their bets in anticipation for the fact that nothing was going to happen on Monday. And, of course, when it did, and for many, many, many weeks, nothing did happen, is my point. And people just, it was kind of like the wave coming in on the shore, and then it went back out, and it came in, and it went out, and then suddenly there was the tsunami. So the question is, the answer to your question is, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is this may be the first of eight or nine announcements of protestations that he's going to say we're not going to do anything, but you don't know which one it is.
Right, right.
That even though he knows that it's going to collapse, you don't know which one. At this point, he may still be hoping that there's no collapse. There's no way to know.
So, but my follow up question is: he jacks them all up, then the banks, then nobody gets any money.
Right. Nobody goes to the bank. They say, oh, all is well. Enough people say all is well, and they don't stroll over to the bank and ask for their money. That's exactly right. Everything's the same. He says, calm down. We're keeping everything the same.
No, don't worry. No. Yeah, but what I mean is, let's assume that he goes ahead and does it then. Let's assume that he goes ahead and jacks up the interest rate.
Right.
Okay. So then the net result of that is going to be that nobody goes to the bank to borrow any money because they can't
pay it back. Yeah, it's more expensive.
Right.
Well, of course, then the other thing is the United States government starts paying more money for the trillions of dollars that it's got hanging out there, too. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. They tell you that that higher interest rates are a sign of a recovering economy, and one of the reasons is that people are borrowing money. Banks only want to loan money to people that they expect to pay it back. And the way you pay it back is you have a viable business that makes a profit.
Right.
And so, but if that's not the case, if they look at your business plan or they look out and they see unemployment rate, is, you know, still going up, or that the sales are not there anymore because the unemployment rate is so high that nobody's selling anything. The bank may say, we're not going to loan you the money.
But if so then you get no new businesses, then you get real unemployment. You'd get a jump in unemployment in a few months, wouldn't you?
Well, we did. We just did.
Well, I'm just saying, that we should be in line for another one if they're going to jack up the interest rates in some
let me tell you, this is a replay of the 76 through 80, what we saw in 1976 through 1980, and that was when they coined the phrase stagflation. Up until that point, it was supposed to be impossible, mind you, to have inflation along with high unemployment. The Keynesian credo, one of the bedrock principles of Keynesianism was that you can always spend your way out of unemployment. You can just take the money and hire people, and that way there's no unemployment, but you suffer the ravages of inflation. Or you can not have inflation by tightening clamping down the money supply, but since there's no money to hire anybody, you're going to have high unemployment. But you can't have both, is the Keynesian credo. Well, they did. In fact, it was bad, and it was bad for a couple of years. And we saw the interest rates, you know, skyrocket up to somewhere between 15% and 20%, depending on who was borrowing. I mean, there were cities, municipalities that were having to borrow money at 12%. If you can imagine, this is tax-free money.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
tax-free mortgages.
Remember when mortgages were hitting 18% and 19%?
Right, and those were 30-year mortgages.
Wow. Yep.
So
yep.
I mean, you know, you can imagine on a 30-year mortgage at, you know, 17 or 18%, you don't start to pay it off until, like, year 24 or something.
Holy guacamole!
So, anyway, the point is that this could all... Nobody knows exactly, you know, as they say, history never absolutely repeats itself, but it runs in parallel rivers, to mix up two metaphors, or three. How many metaphors are there?
I don't know, several. Did you hear that what was that guy, Dr. Doom over in Switzerland? He's convinced that
Faber,
gold,
yes.
Faber,
and Faber is...
Mark Faber,
yeah. He's Dr. Doom, and he's calling for... He says...
Gold will not
go below
1,000.
Which, but I wanted to give a shout-out to one of the hangar dogs. I hope you're doing well with your...
Gene?
Yeah, I told him, I guess when gold was around 900 or something, or 950, I said... We need to really start loading up on it, and he did. He said so. It's 11:50 or something, or something's going up there. It's
all right. I mean, what else is happening, Jimmy?
Okay. What's surprising to me, this. Let's go to talk a little bit about the health care plan. As we all know, it came out of the House. We talked about that. Pelosi got, you know, bribed everybody in sight to get the 5-vote margin. Now it's in the Senate, and Harry Reid is in the hot seat, trying to get his 60 votes to bring this thing to the Senate version of the health care bill to vote. Well, it turns out that three, as you know, in the Senate, there are currently, what, like 59 Democrats and two independents or something like that, I think is what the... So he's technically, if all the Democrats hang together and he gets, you know, one of the Republicans, maybe what's her name, Olympia or the independent, I think he's got his 60 votes that allows him to do what they... Then they can bring it to the floor and have the debate and do whatever they want to do. The problem is there are like three Democrats that are saying that they're not going to go along with the crowd, number one. So they're open for bribery. The store is now open. You know, the cash register's open. How much money do you want to put in this one? Okay. Mm-hmm. And it has to do a lot with the abortion business. There was the stupid PAC amendment that came in out of the House at the last minute that was not funding abortions with federal money, or anybody that even thought about it or even looked at one or passed by a abortion clinic and you had some federal money in their pocket, that was, you know, no go or whatever. But the Senate is, they're having some real problems with that. And they're obviously having some problems with the mandated insurance. The fact is that if you don't have insurance, you have to go out and you have to buy it from the government, and they're going to tell you what the insurance policy is going to look like. And they're going to tell you how much they're going to charge you. And if you don't like it, you can stuff it up your butt because we're going to come get the money from you.
Right. Well, we're talking about
that's something that's always intrigued me. They say, it's mandatory. It's mandatory for what? Well, if the person's unemployed or they don't have the money, how are you going to force them? Well, we're going to give you the money, and then we're going to take it back, and we're going to pay your insurance with it.
Right. That's what they're
going to
do.
My gosh, you're going to have the money. We'll give you the money, but then you have to give it back to us.
And if you don't, you go to jail. And they said it's a $5,000 or $10,000 fine and year in jail or something. I mean, if they really get tough on you. which is amazing that they can make you actually buy something. Of course, where does it stop? What else are they going to make you buy next or not buy? Fine you for buying
McDonald's.
Yeah, fine you. Yeah, they put a dollar.
You'll get your Happy Meal and
yeah,
like
it. A dollar
whether
tax,
you like it or not.
A federal dollar tax on every Happy Meal. How are you happy now? So, yeah. Well, I love this. Of course, and speaking of course, the healthcare is already there's a big hoorah this week. The government Medicare paid $47 billion in suspect claims, and of course, with the new healthcare plan, here's the deal. We got a $300-some billion Medicare thing, and we found, you know, 12.5% of it is suspect fraudulent waste, fraudulent stealing, whatever it is. So our plan basically is, let's triple or quadruple the size of this thing and see how that works out for us.
Well, they're gonna cut back on the waste, Jimmy.
Yeah,
well, they said that.
They don't exactly have a.
Well, they said that.
Then that takes care of that. The Health and Human Services said it was multiplying by 10 the number of agents and prosecutors investigating fraud, which I thought was interesting that they put it. They didn't say how many they're going to multiply by 10 the number of agents. So they're going to have like 20 now or what? I mean, why didn't they just tell you how many they're going to? No, we're going to multiply by 10.
So there's
and
a reason.
Of course, well, they realized that with the educational system today, that not anybody realizes what that means.
That's almost a 10 times increase.
Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
just.
I mean, that's like 1,000% if you can believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. That's what I would have said. So.
And you look at this bill and you say, well, how much of this medical bill is because of the bloat of the people they're hiring? Most of it isn't going to go to provide health care or research.
No, it's the lady that sits behind the little window.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, it's the lady that sits behind the barred window that takes your application.
Yeah. No, like whenever I ride by one of those career centers,
yeah,
my first thought is always, how come all the unemployed people just don't work at the career center?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think some of them actually do. That was I saw an article on, you know, one of the John Stossel or something like that, and somebody had gone through one of those things, and now they were helping out at wherever this was. I thought, well, that's cool.
Yeah, well, you just hire more people to find other people jobs, right?
So I mean, the Jehovah's Witness the mail to deliver. They're going to every house.
They're going to every house. Hey,
yeah.
Did you give this to the neighbor? And
I mean, there's two of them also. They could give you, you know, you won't care about the junk mail anyway. They've got two of them there.
Well, the best thing to do with them whenever they come by is get them to move furniture for you.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Well,
they're helpful.
Sometimes I bring them in and give them.
You got a big chore out in the backyard?
Yeah. Well, no, I keep a big stack of satanic literature here that I like.
I'll be right with you. Let me just clean the blood off this altar.
Yeah, right. No, that's no problem at all. Have you thought about Satan recently? Come on in. Let's talk.
Let me put on some Santana.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Boy, I'll tell you. No, we'll come back another time. All right, well, suit yourself.
You know, where were you just speaking about, people that were trying to get jobs? I was reading this article about out of prison, out of a job, out of luck. They're talking about if you think it's hard to get a job, try being an ex-con.
Oh, man, that's for sure.
You know, this one guy, he's like, I used to make $16,000 a day when I was on the street. I used to rob jewelry stores for a living.
Well, you know what really sucks about those people is that there's a whole bunch of kids now mm-hmm. who have felony records because of stuff like disruption of a school function,
right.
You know, or you know some other minor offense at school.
It could have been. What was that when you? What's the statutory rape if you have
sex
with your, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, then you can't go to like any school.
Right.
Yeah, and they take out your brain at that point.
You think that permanent record thing is real?
It is now.
They always threaten you with in school. This is going on your permanent record.
It wasn't when we were kids, but guess what?
What a surprise.
Oh, it's definitely there now.
We were talking about jobs. Eric, was it you that sent me the job about the up in Allentown? The union's up in arms about the Boy Scout that came in and cleared the path?
Yes, yes, yes. That was just the other day here, real quick. I mean, that was, yeah, the unions are out of, I think it wasn't Allentown? And he was trying to get his last final merit badge, you know, for community service.
Up the trail, right.
Community
right.
service merit badge. And they told him to, they sent some union thugs over to, you know, take a look
rough
at his legs.
Up. Legs. Take a look at his legs.
Yeah.
You know, it just
take a look at his butt.
Everybody,
that's right. Take a look at his butt.
I'm just amazed that the culture in America has got to the point of where if somebody takes your job because they do it better or cheaper, that you get to complain about it. Like when did that come about? I mean, isn't that the deal? I mean, isn't that pretty much like how you get somebody else's job? Is you do it better and cheaper?
Well, but the other thing is, you know, when you realize that it's better and cheaper, and lost my train of thought.
Well, actually, what you can think about when we come back. We're going to take another really super quick break, and then we'll be right back on the Jimmy Doan Show. And we're back with the Jimmy Doan Show.
Woo-hoo! All right. Eric, I just sent you an email about a shirt phenomenon. Have you seen that? The wolf shirt?
No.
Yeah.
Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
What's the deal with the three wolf shirt?
Look, I sent you an email with a link.
I'm looking at it right now.
Read the reviews.
Somebody.
Go ahead.
Somebody made it popular not too long ago, and all of a sudden, like, it started flying off the shelves again, and then it became popular just because it was popular. It's like the chumpiest looking, cheesiest $5 looking t-shirt.
It's like Velvet Elvis paintings, and
yeah.
Somebody went on Amazon and made this ridiculous review, and it was absolutely outrageous, and then it became one-upsmanship. And then all of a sudden, the shirt had magical powers.
Right.
And, babe, read the Amazon reviews. The first one, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. Then I found the original shirt is at everythingwolves.com. I sent you that link as well. Read through all the comments and then read the last two. They're absolutely hysterical. Well, it's become this cult figure. People now buy the shirt because they're mocking people that buy the shirt. You see them everywhere in the airport. I bought one for my best friend for his birthday. And there's this bar in Kansas City where they have Three Wolves Night. And ironically, if the moose, which is the natural enemy of the moose is the wolf, but anyway, they do it because now it's become this joke, this inside joke, that you buy the shirt to mock the people that are buying the shirt. And the reviews are absolutely hysterical. It's like these ridiculous tales of one-upsmanship, and it's all made up, but it's just outrageous.
Hey, Jimmy, you know what? You know what happened to me today?
Tell me.
I'm sitting in front of my TV with the TV paused, and now once a week, the emergency broadcast system. I mean, it scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, you can't shut it off either.
No,
man.
You can't.
It's on every channel.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the, you know, Jimmy, it's ridiculous. It's like, look. Yeah. You know, they play it so often that now I'm literally getting desensitized to it from the standpoint of if it goes off, I don't look anymore to see if it's really an emergency or if it's just the test, because
right,
I figure it's just
right,
a test.
Right, right, right. Well, that's, you know, they're doing that on purpose. It's so the little boy that cried wolf. No, they...
I wonder if he's wearing a Three Wolf shirt.
That's a Three Wolf shirt. There you go. Woo!
So you can tell that they are planning an emergency, and then you won't respond.
It's a ploy.
It's a ploy, right? It reminds me of that one, that movie where the guy was going to rob the museum, and of course it had every motion detector in the world in the place, and so he like hid in a closet or something. I forget what it was, or maybe he had a remote. I guess it was a remote on a trash can. And so he would move this trash can around, and the doors would slam shut. Everybody go into complete, you know, total alert. And after about the fourth time, they just turned it off.
Right, right.
And so then he walked in and stole the stuff. That was cool. If you get my drift, okay.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in hotels where the fire alarms go off at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and people are standing in the hallway, and there's smoke
coming down the hallway, and people are standing around going, gee, I wonder what we should do.
See?
Well, let's stand here and get burned up like charcoal briquettes.
Well, now, what happened? Was there really fire?
Oh, yeah. There was a fire in the supply closet. As a matter of fact, I've been in 3 hotel fires in the last 10 years.
So,
and I didn't
sounds a little suspicious to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
let me find out. So was there trampling and stuff?
No. Actually, one of the hotels that I was in St. Louis, and it was like in a supply closet or something, but there was smoke coming down the hallway.
So what you're saying is, I mean, you're providing another great example.
There's so many false alarms that people just don't think it's real.
And even when they see the smoke.
They don't think it's real. They think, oh, well, you know, if it was important, somebody would come and get me.
Yeah.
Well, hello, they're ringing an alarm.
Well, you know, I think it's...
Well, this is back to that case, don't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
A bunch of trash.
The seminal case that they use against free speech is the examples that they use is, well, you can certainly regulate some speech because you don't want people yelling fire in a crowded theater because then you're going to get tramplings.
Inciting a riot, right.
Right. But my point is always it doesn't happen that way. I mean, there's no need to regulate that kind of speech.
It did back when they first came out with the talkies because people were stupider back
then. Right. Well, when they first came out with fire.
Yeah. Right. Now they invented fire.
Now you can walk around with a device that actually creates fire with your thumb.
Yeah, see, that's weird.
Yeah, no, that's bizarre. Well, it's alien technology.
Yeah, it's no question about that. Well, no, that's... but anyway, so the point is that they're doing this as to soften us up for the big one when the... You know, so that people just won't believe that it's a...
Well, it's working, man.
Yeah, it's working. That's right. I remember when I was living downtown at the Siegel Building, they had these fire... It went off, and we would all dutifully go downstairs and... Pajamas, you know, there's like 20 of us standing around in pajamas.
Pajama party.
Yeah. Now we all look out the window. Everybody tries to wave around the building, and you figure, oh, I can see a couple of sides of the building. If I don't see a bunch of people pointing up at the building,
right.
Then you
do the ground inspection.
Did you eventually get to the point, Jimmy, where when the alarm would go off, people wouldn't even bother to go down, or did you always?
We always went down.
Go down and go down.
Always went down.
Yeah, well, you're in a big tall building, so
we always went down.
I'd probably go down too.
I'm amazed at how many times I've heard fire alarms go off in the hotels and people just ignore them.
I went down the first few times.
Culling the herd.
Yeah. A little chlorine in the gene pool.
A little chlorine in the gene pool. No problem. There, we got to get rid of a couple people.
What else you got, Jimmy?
Okay, I got the edit. So this is really surprising. Another government plan that somehow just doesn't seem to work. No Child Left Behind has backfired, it turns out. And, I mean, I know this is stunning, but it's not doing apparently what it's supposed to do. A study released by the U.S. Department of Education shows that 15 states have lowered their educational standards. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the No Child Left Behind was federal dollars, and the way it worked is if your school improved, then you got some extra federal money. Okay? So what at least 15 of the states went in there and gamed the system by lowering the standards of the schools to begin with, you know, before the thing started.
Right. Sneaky.
And then of course they showed this vast improvement, even though the kids were basically doing the same,
right?
But over the lowered standards, so they couldn't understand. You know what? Why? How is this working? In some areas, Florida set high standards. Just 4 of the states have higher standards for an 8th grade reading level. In other areas, the standards are lower. 15 states have tougher standards than Florida for 4th grade. This was an editorial, actually, but I love this. The thing about it is, it can never work. And of course, education. If you go to the School Sucks website, you'll find out that it's all a scam anyway. But I just have to laugh at these people thinking that when there's money involved, I mean literally billions, that somebody's not going to just game the crap out of the system to get the thing. But I love this. And of course, as we've talked about so many times, the last sentence, here's the last sentence in the editorial, which I did yellow line, the law, whose intention is good, should be rethought and reworked or replaced with a program that closes the loopholes while ensuring high quality education for all. I mean, I just love this because here's the people.
And truth and justice and the American way and liberty and apple pie.
Well, what gets me about this is the fact that they say, well, if we had some really smart people that would put this together, you know, it would work just fine. And I'm thinking, But that's the people that put it together in the first place. I mean, right. What they didn't like select the really stupid ones on any of them. They were a pack of, super intelligent Einstein / Kahn. Geniuses, they were mutant geniuses that put this thing together in the first place, and you're going to get better people than that, and it screwed up.
And then they're going to consider all of the parameters.
Yes, all of the parameters, that's right.
All of the evidence.
And all the changes that have occurred since then,
right,
too.
Right, right.
All of it. There'll be no piece of information left out. And then they will peer into the future and decide what's best.
Are these new people?
This is the theme for this show, obviously, is the these people can fix it all.
That's right.
Show,
no,
man.
No. I've did.
Mara caught and shot up the America Online again.
That's it.
Now they just let them get up there, Jimmy. They'll fix the global warming, man. They'll fix the education.
I was pleased about one thing. I went to garage sales last Saturday, and I did find a new wand.
Oh, okay.
It's a really neat LED wand that's shaped like a star. It's kind of like it's got all of the religious symbols in one. It's all LEDs. It's got like the little moon from the Quran and the Star of David and the other star and some kind of circle-y thing. And it's got, they're all but LEDs.
Deer from Kwanzaa?
So you're covering all your bases.
Yeah,
you're pretty
well. No, well, I think the handle is the spear. As a matter of fact, it does have the spear. Right. Yes, it does. So I thought I'd take that down to the city commission and say, hey, you want to change things? Here's your wand. It's got an on-off switch and everything. That's it. No problem. I don't think you have a thing to worry about there. 25 Chicago students arrested for middle school fight. Apparently, typical middle school fight, out of...
felony, man.
Felony, right. No, they hauled them off. By the end of the day, 25 students, age 11 to 15, had been rounded up, handcuffed, arrested, and down to jail, and their parents had to come and get them and everything. But, I mean, I was thinking about this is like out of Animal House or whatever it was, and they...
See if you can guess what I am now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Now, that's not who instigated this. This was Ronald McDonald's visits, brought the bad seed in.
Yeah, my daughter said someone threw an apple at her, so she retaliated.
It's an Apple laptop.
Yeah.
No, it was a desktop.
It was a desktop, sure. But I'm wondering.
What a CRT.
I'm wondering what this person must be from. The thing that gets me is this person might be from another country. Her name is Sherlanda Civils. Why didn't they grab you, too? I don't know. She didn't feel good about seeing her friends taken away. Okay, anyway, they said that they're going to get probation and. Of course, this is the thing. The Supreme Court next week, I think, is going to, or they've heard arguments about now putting away kids, kids 12 and 13 year olds for life, right? They're getting ready to rule on that, I think. So this might be another way to food fight, felony, go to jail forever. I like that. Okay, Friday, October 30th. This week's second outrage. Tennessee Attorney General Bob Cooper, D, who recently issued an official opinion that landlords can prohibit law-abiding tenants from possessing their legally owned firearms within the leased premises of their rented apartments, even if the tenants have a valid carry permit. This opinion is based on a response to a request from state representative who said that he thought that the answer should have been different. It strikes me it shouldn't be a prohibition. So apparently, referring to the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which would apply to someone living in an apartment, which would prevent law enforcement officers from entering without a search warrant, if the Fourth Amendment applies, then why doesn't the Second Amendment apply, he asked. Continuing on this logical line of thought, Shipley went on to say, if you can argue that your landlord can deny you your Second Amendment rights, then he can deny you your First Amendment rights to free speech inside the four corners of your apartment. Can a landlord say you give up free speech under the First Amendment? I don't think so. So anyway, I thought it was interesting. This is not a binding legal opinion, but they basically said, if you're...
It's Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a little surprising. Yeah. Was where Jed struck oil, right? And then he moved to Beverly. Okay. Next thing I've got here is the Call of Duty Modern Warfare is banned in Russia. This is some kind of new game. Do you know anything about this game? I mean,
sure.
Call of Duty, yeah. They've advertised on Sci-Fi Channel.
Really?
Yeah. Why did Sci-Fi change its name to SYFY instead of SIFI?
I kind of wondered that. Are they hippifying it because of the new spelling?
Maybe somebody said
C-fi slang or...
Yeah. No, I think maybe it got bought or something. Maybe they changed it corporate reasons or something. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
It's a pronunciation.
That's something the listener can Google and
that's right.
Do it.
It's like the new Coke. It's going to go. It's not going to make.
They're hooked on phonics.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I love this. But they banned it in Russia. Why? Because the Russians apparently in this game don't look so hot. Can you imagine? I mean, the Russian. Can you imagine if somebody put? I can't imagine that anybody would put together a game, you know, kind of a game in here for Nintendo or whatever it's for, that would make the Americans look bad and have it. You know, would we ban it? No, I don't think so.
No.
No, I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to look bad. I mean, right?
Right. Well, but I love that the entire country of Russia has said we ban this. We hereby ban this game. You are banned from playing.
Money
this.
Making opportunity.
And take boy, your McDonald's with you.
That's right. Yeah. No, but I mean, you're coming across the border, and you know we got any, well, I got opium. I got you know yeah. a lot of that.
I got some 7.62x39.
I got 7.62. Put the
burger down.
Yeah, that's right. Put the burger out. A bunch of Kalashnikovs. Oh, and I also have this game of Hellboy or whatever it's called, Modern Warfare. Oh, okay. You're a dead man. So then the next thing I found out here, which I'm really this always interests me. Apparently, there's a new drug called Flibanserin, which is it's originally used.
How do you spell that?
I don't know. Flibanserin.
I don't know. I'm reading it, but
Fliban. Flibanserin.
Okay, good, because it saves me some lookup time.
Okay, Fli. Well, now fly is Fli, not Fly.
Right.
So Flibanserin.
Okay.
A drug originally designed to fight depression. It also turns out that it turns women on when they take it.
Really?
I'm thinking, you know, this is.
Oh, is this the new female Viagra equivalent
yes,
thing?
Yes, yeah. yes. And, of course, this goes with the thing that we talked about in the last.
And that really fights depression.
Yeah. No,
question. Like, it fights depression not only in the girl who takes it, but, like, everybody she hangs out with.
Yeah. Gotta be cool. Well, of course, this goes with your homegrown penis that we talked about last time.
Yeah.
You know, they're able to grow them functional replacement penises in the lab. So, I mean, I'm thinking this. I hope I'm around long enough to enjoy all this stuff. This would be great.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, it's the chicken.
That's the chicken.
He wanted to enjoy it, too.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, hanger dog, Zuki. Turns out the FHA is going broke, and I don't want to talk about that. I think we're...
I found out why Sci-Fi changed its name.
Oh, why?
In some universe, they claim the name SYFI is less geeky than the name Sci-Fi. David Howe, president of the Sci-Fi Channel, is betting. So let me ask you a question. I'm sorry, did anybody who was not a geek watch the Sci-Fi Channel?
I was going to say.
You've
got your target audience.
I mean, it's like, okay, we're going to change the name of Comic-Con to, like, you know, Social Boat.
Right. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. No.
Are they suffering low self-esteem or something?
I have no idea. Sci-Fi was coming off its best year in history. Its primetime ranked 13th in total viewers among ad-supported cable networks in 2008. It's top 10 in both adults, 18 to 49, up 4%, and adults 25 to 54, up 6%. So, you know, its parent is General Electric.
Wow.
Parent company. You know, I don't know. There's a whole article here. Maybe I'll link to it.
You know, we don't care about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. But I'm just saying, you know, I guess this guy, so... If you have Sci-Fi stock, I guess now's your time to pull out since David Howe doesn't know what's going on.
Okay. Anything else you got for me? Anything else? Any tidbit? I'm just about...
I got some light stuff.
Well, go ahead and lay it on us real quick.
Okay. Lay it on us real quick. Angry woman eats ex-boyfriend's pet.
Boo! And her was the pet like...
Was it a cow?
A fish.
This is Dateline Pasadena, Texas.
Oh, that's the fish, isn't it?
Yeah. She outdid the rabbit scene in Fatal Attraction by stealing her ex's pet goldfish, frying them up in a pan, and eating them. The fight led up to the non-vegetarian revenge fest. Was apparently over some jewelry that the unnamed man had once given the anonymous fish murderess. And had taken back. And unsuccessfully confronting her ex, the woman went to his apartment, took the goldfish, and brought them home for the most furious fish fry in the history of mankind.
I doubt
that. Yes, I don't think so either. By the time the police made it to her place, she'd already eaten three of the goldfish, which left four tiny fried fish carcasses sitting on her plate. She couldn't have been very hungry, though, She couldn't have been very hungry, though, after the huge plate of crazy she ate before breakfast. The huge pail of crazy.
Yeah. Have a big bowl of wacko.
Extra sauce.
A bowl of bunkers.
That's yeah. This is great. The you know, did you hear that the Wisconsin Tourism Federation, they decided to change their name.
To?
Well, they're
well, you know, you don't mean because it was WTF or anything.
WTF, man.
I can see why they might have.
Interested in going on vacation? WTF. So anyway, they are going to be doing something. I guess they're still trying to figure out what they're going to change it to. you know, they're on a mission, all right. Oh, this is perfect for you. You sent this to me, Jimmy, actually. Man's ashes laid to rest in computer.
No, I don't remember that.
A man who seems to be of something of a geek is cremated and his ashes were placed in a spark station box together with mementos from his family and friends.
Well, somebody else might have said. I mean, I'm pretty sure I was sober, so I think.
I'm just saying that sounds like something you would have done.
Well, no. Well,
or
again,
would do.
You know, the little Valhalla with the Apple IIe. Right.
Did you see about the guy that took the Apple IIe or the? I think it was a Mac Plus that he took into one of the Genius bars.
Yeah. He went to. Can you fix this?
And he's, oh my God, what is that?
Yeah.
What did he bring?
He took it like to an Apple store or someplace that claims to fix Macs.
Right.
So he took it. It's like an Apple Plus.
Right.
You know, from set 80.
Elderly.
Mm-hmm. You know, he says, I think something's wrong with the RAM disk drive.
It just makes a noise, is what he said. Yeah.
It makes
a beep.
Yeah.
Beep. So I know that beep really well.
So anyway, they looked at it in stunned silence and finally referred him, I think, to some antique old place in an alternate time.
What was funny was the computer was older than they were.
Right.
That was what was really ironic.
Yeah. No wonder you hadn't seen one before. No, I'm sure that what they just step right through here. We got a time machine here. We're going to take you back 20 years. They'll fix it.
This is. I think this is over in Europe. But Curtis has always talked about, which I love. The eventually you're going to get the old DWD fine. You know,
driving while driving.
Yeah, that's what I like. Now, driving while distracted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but driving while driving. Yep, you're guilty. Man fined for following GPS to a cliff. Okay, a man trying to get to his home in Doncaster, South Yorkshire, from a friend's house was fined for following his GPS directions to the edge of a cliff with a massive drop. Robert Jones was looking for a gas station when he followed the navigation system down a narrow dirt road, and he didn't stop until he ran into a fence at the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, we did this one last week.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't remember that one. Anyway, he was fined $600.
We don't even listen to our own shows. That's the whole thing.
I just hit play and whatever. All right, edit. Did we do a dwarf gets penis glued to a vacuum cleaner?
Whoa! No, doesn't sound like one I have. Oh, that just hurts thinking about it. What do you? And I'm not even hardly a dwarf.
Another British a British dwarf who was performing at the Edinburgh Festival found his penis glued to a vacuum cleaner while preparing for a live show.
How?
Found it that way.
Daniel Blackner, known as Captain Dan the Demon Dwarf, performed at the Circus of Horrors. That is Horrors. Known for its oddball performance and offbeat performances. As part of the show, the dwarf pulls a Henry vacuum cleaner using a special attachment across the show attached to his penis. However, the vacuum cleaner was broken before performance, and performer Blackner placed an extra strong glue on the attachment to fix it. He neglected to wait the entire 20 minutes required for the glue to dry, which resulted in his penis becoming glued to the vacuum cleaner. Let's see.
That's bad.
I can't believe you're mocking this guy's misfortune.
Why can't you believe it?
He's a dwarf in England. I mean, what's he going to do? after being rushed to the A&E Department of Edinburgh Royal Infirmary, Blackner was freed after an hour and remarked that it was the most embarrassing moment of my life when I got wheeled out into a packed A&E with a vacuum cleaner attached to me. I just wish the ground could have swallowed me up. Luckily, they saw me quickly, so the embarrassment was short-lived. Yep, didn't know if you'd seen that one or not. There's a bunch of, you know, speaking of Christmas presents.
Sorry.
Christmas presents coming out here. Did you see the creepy toy trend for like corner dolls and those dolls that these you put in the corner, and it's like they're, I don't know, they're really weird, freaky looking, shy kids or something. You put these kids in the. What's next? Sally spanked me. Wallace washed my mouth out with soap. I guess they're for people that want to beat up on some doll instead of their kids. Timeout dolls, they call them. I know. It's, I mean, if I saw somebody, one of those in somebody's house, I'd have to think about it. When they're probably not going to be my friend anymore. They do have pole dancing dolls, though.
I did see that.
Yeah, it's a
baby pole dancer.
Yep. And they're apparently Chinese dolls, made in China. Of course, what isn't made in China? But I was figuring that there were some other dolls that could go along with that. Of course, breastfeeding doll and fetus doll could go along with that, because that's pretty much what you would get. So, I don't know, something to think about. To become a three-pack with a stripper pole doll. There you go. What else? You got anything, Curtis, for lightness?
That's it for me.
There was a an Obama chia pet. Did you see that?
Oh God!
everybody was got.
I can't believe that they're still actually selling those things in any form.
Yeah, it's again, it went around the internet. I guess with some of my friends, they're like, you know, shouldn't what grows out of his head be poison ivy or hemlock or something? stuff. And then Stitch writes it, he goes, weed, man.
Green shoots.
And I guess NASA found significant amounts of water on Mars. So,
on the moon.
So the moon. We can go up there and have a little vacation. There is somebody putting up a $3 billion space station.
Well, there's supposed to be like next year.
Hotel. It's a hotel.
2012.
2012.
We talked about that. $200,000 or something like that. Then there's also the.
This is like a hotel. It's a big inflatable thing, and it's supposed to. You're supposed to spend something like $4 million to go up to this. Well, at least initially.
Yeah.
But you get a little time up there. Well, it's cheaper than the $20 million to go up in the. I mean, the Richard Branson thing is a couple hundred thousand, but that's up and back. I mean,
right.
it's just a pop flight,
okay.
Like an Alan Shepard or a Grissom deal.
Uh-huh.
But this one is orbital. So
you can't beat that.
No, man, that's, orbital's the way to go, for sure. Well, that's cool. I mean, that's all. Will, you got something else that you wanted to mention, too.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily on a lighter note.
No, it's not a light note,
but serious note. But, you know, I was talking to you and Jimmy yesterday morning about this project that we've been working on. Being a car enthusiast, I restore Pontiac Fieros, and there's a Pontiac Fiero foreman, a young fellow named Tyler Shipman, who lives up in a place called Frazee, Minnesota, who is very critically ill with cancer, and he asked some of the forum members if they could come up and maybe help him out, work on his car, because he wasn't well enough to do it. And as it turns out, he's doing very, very, very poorly. So it kind of went viral on us, and they're doing a build this weekend. They're going to go up, 30 or 40 members of the forum from all over the country are flying in to build this kid a car, kind of like reminiscent of the Chip Foose's overhaul, and only this is purely volunteer. And they put together a website for this kid. He's
What's
18
the website?
Years old. It's Tyler's Toy, T-Y-L-E-R-S, toy.com. And
they're going to broadcast the build over the web, right?
Yeah, that's correct. They're going to do a live build. This has been spearheaded by an Army sergeant over in Iraq named
Andy Weichel, and he has just been phenomenal.
He got nothing else to do, right?
You know, he in his time off, when he's not on duty, he's a car enthusiast, and he started following this, and he started contacting people over here in the States that would ship in. And, Jimmy, this is what you and I were talking about, where people stepped up to the plate, and they helped each other. Instead of looking for a handout, they were looking for a hand up. And it points that given the opportunity, most people will usually step up and do the right thing. And I just thought it was incredibly cool. If anybody is interested in making a donation or following the build, it's tylerstoy.com. And they're going to have the reveal this Sunday. A lot of the folks like me who had airline tickets, I couldn't be there. So I'm flying up a couple of the guys. And, you know, I didn't do it to get a pat on the back. I did it because there were people that helped me when I was sick earlier this year, and I hope these people will help somebody else when they're in a position to help somebody, because I think that's what we need. We don't need more government intervention. We need people watching out for each other. So anyway, it's a really cool project. I think you'd really find it interesting.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll give a report on it.
Absolutely.
It's a great fun. Yeah, it's to say, we've always talked about this, being the libertarian kind of people that we are. We've always said that without somebody, you don't have to be told to do. You know, a lot of this stuff is, if it's such a great idea, why do you need a law? Number one, and so here we got a problem that can be solved by people. And naturally, I think the natural inclination is to pitch in, and you eliminate the brokerage fee of some bureaucrat or a bunch of bureaucrats or whatever. It is a direct shot, and all in all, it ends up certainly being a lot less expensive to do something like this than it would be obviously if the government took.
It would never get done.
No, you'd have, well, first of all, you have to have a fiero czar. And that'd be the first thing you'd do is to set up a bureau of fieros and then have a czar.
Right.
Then you have to have an official registrar that tags and tracks every one of them.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, it would be just, and of course, they'd all be getting paid out of Washington, D.C. salaries and everything. No, I mean, they could probably do this build. I'm guessing they could probably do this build for under $1 billion.
That would be my guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And they get, at least 1.5 fieros out of that.
Yeah, no
right.
question. And they... Now, they might not be exactly right.
Right.
You know, they might have the tires on top and the, you know, as they say, they might have forgotten.
They'd have to build four of them because they'd have to have three parts cars backed up.
Right. And
of course, you'd have to make 700 of each additional part for backups.
That's right.
And then you'd have
to have a little sign, you know, that says this side down. You know, on the tires and everything, you know, and you know, the top. I mean, it'd be all nicely painted and everything, but the roof would have this big right. emblazoned thing, like a pizza deliver thing that says this side up.
Right. Well, when you look at the parking lot, you're going to have one on this side, one on this side, one sitting on the trunk, one on the nose, and then one finally on the wheels.
And then you'd have to have warning labels everywhere.
Right. Right.
And you have to bring it up to code.
Right.
You have to bring it up to code, and so it probably would end up looking like an Escalade. But it would have the Fiero logo on it someplace.
Right.
Well, I tell you, it's just been an enormous inspiration seeing what these guys have done. And you know, they have this message board has like 40 or 50 messages per page. And I'm looking at it right now. It's now 45 pages long. So that's 1,700 posts.
He did that in his head, didn't
he? And these people are flying in from all over the country, taking their own time, money out of their own pocket to do something good for this kid. His town has stepped up. The people of Frazee, Minnesota have stepped up. And there's a local auto parts and body repair place that's donating a paint job. And the people there have just been incredibly generous. And as you said, Jimmy, you can't legislate good manners and caring for other people. People should just intrinsically know this, and I don't have to have somebody tell me to do the right thing.
No.
I know to do it. My parents raised me right.
Well, again, I think it's let me put it this way. If it was otherwise with the human species, we wouldn't be here. I mean, now let's face it, any way you slice it, even the lone species, you know, they do have to cooperate at some point in time, at least two of them.
Now,
so I mean, I think it's endemic on any species that actually survives that cooperation is the rule of the day. And when you somehow get an overbearing totalitarian type, functionary, whatever it is, it just kind of puts a turd in the punch bowl. I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
this fellow named Chris Cleaver, who works for he's an IT manager up in Minneapolis, St. Paul's, kind of spearheaded it here in the States. And he's been putting in, 16 to 20 hours a day between his job and all the extra time he spent coordinating this stuff. And I just think it's incredibly cool that he's doing this to help this kid that he's never met before. And he said, I don't want to lose sight of why we're doing this. We're doing this to do something for this kid. We're not doing it, just to, for the sake of raising money. And I had a good friend of mine step up and do some really nice parts that are kind of top secret. But the point is, check out Tyler's toy. It's okay. A neat deal, and I think it's a heartwarming story. I hope Tyler comes out of this okay. He seems like a good kid.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, and of course, we always wish him the best, and hopefully, as you say, that this can be a big turnaround. I understand that once this thing got started, the doctors were sitting there saying, "My God, he's best spirits he's been in for." Who knows what all,
It was amazing.
Yeah, coming out of the depression and everything. As you're the one that's telling me that, some of these cancers are very heavily dependent on your attitude as to whether
I agree completely.
Yeah, and
I agree completely.
So
when I went through my ordeal, I could have sat around and felt sorry for myself, and I chose not to. I guess the fact is that we can look at what's gone wrong in our life, or we can look at what went right in our life. And, you guys were nice enough to have me on a couple of years ago when my mentor, Maynard Ferguson, passed away. And, he was, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant jazz trumpet players that ever lived. And he's the reason that I teach, because he said, what's the point of having skills if you can't pass them on to somebody else? He said, somebody helped you get to where you are, and now maybe you can turn around and help somebody else. And that's why I do what I do.
Well, then, it's a mission in life. I'm one of those people also that believe that we all have a purpose. I don't have a clue what mine is, but we all have a purpose. And a lot of other people, too.
You don't have to
people.
Know what it is.
No, you don't. That's no, not at all.
I don't think you do either.
No, I don't think you do either.
You just do what you do.
Yeah, and as I say, I think I'm confident that the right thing comes. I know one of the things you kind of mentioned in this particular case, there's a mission with around this kid, almost like the Make-A-Wish type foundation. But when you realize that everything that you own, from your laptop to your the gasoline to the pen that you draw with and everything, is a result of 10,000 people who have no idea who may hate you. But
yep.
But it's their own self-interest to make sure that you get a hold of that pen or pencil or tablet or whatever it is. I mean, it's interesting. That's the way the cooperation works in this world. Well, anyway, I think we probably...
Well, actually, one more thing, actually, because we were just talking about, people ill and having specifically cancer and doing something positive with it. My friend, Lisa Savaretti, she actually started My Hope. She had breast cancer, and she's a survivor, and she started MyHopeChest.org. And they raised tons of women to have reconstructive breast surgery. So
breast surgery, yes. I read about that.
Yeah, she's out in Las Vegas.
I love that. That's really, My Hope cute.
MyHopeChest.org. Yeah, she's really cool. She's a really neat girl. So anyway.
It's all done.
So if you need to go check out those sites. And
well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Will, buddy. Yeah, next time you come, we'll have you actually in the studio. All of this worked out.
Yeah.
We got you on our phone line so we can blank you out.
Thank you, fellas.
Got you on the jack road, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be killer. But, brother, we'll have a great rest of the week, and we will definitely we'll catch you on the flip side, man. Let us know when you're coming back.
All right, buddy.
Woo-hoo.
Talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
You got it.
Bye.
All right, you guys, right into Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
Yeah, don't forget to go to our Amazon thing now.
Go to our Amazon thing.
We have to put up a little, a little, the high score game thing that they've got in the arcade games.
Right,
If the more you order from...
Right, the higher you move up on our totem pole or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have to do that. You'll have to give me that general link to go shopping, so...
Yeah, that's right. Maybe somebody can order, a Rolls Royce or something off of the...
It's like that guy who goes, I had two lesbian neighbors, and he says, it was around Christmas time, and he goes, I think they misunderstood me. They gave me a Rolex for Christmas, and he says, when I told them, I said, I just want a watch.
Cute.
Oh, yeah, we had it was his listener. Oh, that's a Scoot, actually. He sent in this joke. He goes, an American tourist asked a new founder, why do scuba divers always fall backwards off their boats? And to which The Newfoundland replies, if they fell forward, mate, they'd still be in the freaking boat. All right, have a great one, guys. See we'll see you later.